This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a baby boy and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, prepare to grow as a person as we talk strollers. Plus, the universe won't let Biz even enjoy a burger. Teresa comes to terms with there being only one food group, hot dogs. And we talk to the amazing Michelle T about her new memoir, How to Grow Up, and her online magazine, Mother Magazine.
Woo! I like that we're going to grow as people talking about strollers.
Apparently, last week, episode 89, somehow we knocked it out of the park.
People seem
to really find insight in the thing. And we ourselves struggled
with
coming to terms with some truths. Some truths as people and as
possibly
moms.
Possibly dark truths.
Anyway, Teresa and I both felt that last week was too emotionally exhausting for us, so we're going to talk about strollers today.
It's going to be great.
The least emotionally exhausting topic one can talk about as a parent.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We're going to fuck this up.
We'll fuck this up somehow. Don't worry. Teresa, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm really good, actually. But the weekend, it was challenging. It was challenging with my almost 3.5-year-old. He's getting over like a cough, so he came home a little early on Friday, but it was that we have this on our episode about kids being sick,
right,
which people should go back and listen to if you haven't heard about it. But if you haven't heard it, but the the sick thing, when my son gets sick, my elder son gets sick, he just gets really manic. It's so tiring because he doesn't really feel well. So it's not really like a carefree, joyful play.
Right.
It's like kind of like he's possessed and crazy. And he can't stop moving. And he's just loading up things with his other things.
Right.
And it's just crazy. And then on top of that, my younger, who is now 15 months as of yesterday.
He'll start liking television soon.
Phew!
Phew!
He is just he's just following his brother, playing.
Yeah.
And they're actually, it's delightful to see them like building on their relationship and really bonding as brothers more and playing together more and wrestling and being super cute. But hand in hand with that is that, and I've talked about this before, but it was so intense this weekend. I cannot not talk about it because this is what I've been doing for the last 2 days, is that the younger one will just walk somewhere near the older one.
Right.
And the older one will just completely dissolve into tears, literally tears of panic that the younger one is coming up to touch one of his things that he's playing with. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, the toys are just, they're all everybody's toys.
Right, but
and
still,
it's just something he's doing, he's working on really intensely.
Right.
And it's so tough because he's so stressed about it that he can't even hear what I'm saying when I'm saying, like, look, I'll, you know, give him one thing to play with.
Right.
Or, you know, just show him what you're doing. Or, you know, move your things to another area where you're not going to. I mean, it's like everything. It's just too much.
Everything is too much.
So that is what I did.
That's
for
hard.
Like 2 days.
That's
it was really
hard.
Intense. And it was kind of like today. Definitely well enough to be at school. He hasn't, like, had a fever or anything. He's not super, like, phlegmy. He just has a cough.
It's fine.
Sometimes.
Go to school.
He's fine.
That's right.
But I'm relieved for him, too.
Yeah.
Like, because he just needs to be away from the house, basically.
Yeah.
He needs to be out of the house.
That is super stressful.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I'm glad you're doing great now.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, here I am. How are you?
I'm all right. It was kind of a... Okay. Friday, Stephen calls from work and is like, I want to go get burgers this weekend. I'm like dying to get burgers. I've been researching burgers for work, so I want to go get a burger. I'm like, okay, we'll all go. Sunday, we'll go get some burgers. I'm so looking forward to a burger. I've been craving a burger. I deserve a burger, right? Doesn't every mom just deserve? Who doesn't deserve a fucking burger?
Oh,
like the best burger place in town. We go. You get Katie Bell down. You get Ellis down. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to have. Did we bring anything to play with? Did we do anything? We just walked out the door like idiots and went straight there. And we're all there. It's like basically going to a restaurant on two separate dates, one with the daughter and one with the son. Katie Bell is just like on high. She's just like, she's high as a kite, just wants to be insane. And I'm so tired. And the burger like shows up and it's beautiful. And it falls apart. Like the whole bottom just dissolves because I start to take the wrapper off to try and eat it. And it just, within a minute and one bite, the whole thing is like unrecognizable as a burger. And I look at Stefan and he's like, mine's falling apart too. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm about to start crying here at the counter. Like it was just like, it'd been this really long weekend. We'd like took on a bunch of projects, like ripping up the yard. And like, I mean, it was like too much of a weekend.
Yeah.
And then here comes this burger. And I should be able to just have this universe. I should be allowed to have this fucking burger. And then like the next thing you know, it's like, you can't even get to it with a fork properly. You know what I mean? Like it just is this sad, soggy mess. And like I eat it, but it was just like, it was so sad. It was like, I find the image of crying and eating like simultaneously kind of hilarious.
It's really funny.
It is very funny. Yeah. And that is basically that.
It's even worse when you're eating something that's kind of like junk food that you're supposed to just love.
Oh.
Like it's not like you're eating, it's not like you're crying and you're eating like fruit salad.
Yeah,
or
fruit salad,
you know, or like
oatmeal. No, it's this beautiful burger.
It's like, it's
that has become an unrecognizable disaster.
Oh.
Like my life. I just was like,
so sorry.
I just want this fucking burger.
Did you get some pie after that?
I did get some pie. I was saved by pie, cherry pie, which is very good. And then, of course, the moment I get in the car, my stomach gets horribly upset and we have to race home.
Oh my God.
It was just like, what the fuck? So.
Okay, I'm glad that's over. I'm glad we're done with
this weekend.
Yesterday and the
is
day
over.
Before. I'm glad we're here now.
In the present. To talk about strollers.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Miss and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Do you have a stroller?
I have.
How many strollers do you have?
I have three strollers.
Whoa! You've got three strollers! Okay. All right.
Not totally on purpose. Not like totally.
So did you just find one on the side of the road?
No. It was like a couple years ago and we were traveling.
Right.
And we didn't, like, we needed a stroller, but for some reason we couldn't bring ours, or we forgot to bring ours. I think we forgot to bring ours. So we had Amazon send a little collapsible one to our hotel.
Yeah.
And so then we brought that home. So we have two of the, like, umbrella strollers, and then we have one big Bob jogging stroller.
All right. For people who don't have children or are about to have children, let's just do a quick recap on strollers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Strollers. Or how you get a baby from one place to another when you don't want to carry them or you want them to be sleeping, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk. We'll spend some time talking about the pros and cons of strollers.
Or toddlers. They work really well for toddlers.
I will say, I do have a judgy threshold.
Uh-huh, you do?
I have one judgy threshold, and that is the six-year-old in the stroller.
Oh.
Or the five-year-old in the stroller. Like, once they're walking, whatever, everybody, again, that's my judgy thing. Mm-hmm. It will not prevent us from ever being friends.
Mm-hmm.
But they're I can remember being, like, at a street fair and, like, seeing, like, running into, like, a friend, and she, like, comes up. She's not a good, you know, acquaintance friend.
Uh-huh.
And she comes up, and she's, the kid in the umbrella stroller was too fucking big.
Uh-huh.
It was too old. Not big, like, you know, he's a super baby or something. The kid was too old. And I get it. Like, there's one part of my brain was like, I get it. You do not want to wait for that slow-ass kid.
They wander off.
Or they watch
something.
This kid just looked kind of miserable, like cramped into this thing. And it was just like, why is that kid a stroller? Anyway, I digress. Types of strollers.
Mm.
there's the umbrella stroller. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, that is a stroller that just easily folds up, mm-hmm. like kinda an umbrella.
It's like lightweight.
Yep.
And it's, yeah, it's just small. And then when they sit in it, you're basically just pushing a kid. It doesn't have like a whole bunch of big like cup holders and pockets and it storage. It's just like a little
thing.
Spot for your kid to sit.
Right. Very, it's a chair on wheels. Yeah. And that is really about it.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize that you need one until you go on a trip and you don't want to haul the mega stroller,
the stroller,
which is big usually because, like, why are they so fucking big? Well, when you have a baby, an infant, they're sleeping in it a lot. Sometimes you want to move the car seat to the stroller. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of purposes for it more than just a chair.
Yeah.
Like, you need a place to put your shit.
You put your diaper bag in there. You lock the infant seat into it.
That's right.
And boom, you have a gigantic monstrosity.
That's right.
And that's pretty much it.
Once the kid can't switch over the car seat into the stroller, you still need a space for that kid to be.
Yeah.
And it's usually pretty big.
And they're big by now.
And they're big and they're bigger. You need a place for your drink. You need a place for... And anybody out there who's like, fuck it, I don't need that. Eventually that shifts. Eventually you're like, I do want my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I do want a place to hang my bag that doesn't tip the entire stroller over.
Yep.
Like, I do need a place to shove groceries or bags or the toys or the blankets. So, like, whatever. You need the space.
Sometimes. Sometimes you need it. It's nice to have a stroller.
Nice to have it if you can do it.
Whatever.
Right. There's the double. The double stroller.
The double. Which, did you ever consider? No, because Katie Bell was old enough by then that you didn't
She was
consider.
Old enough. When I was first, we were first trying, like, you know, which was a lot earlier in Katie Bell's life for a second. It, you know, I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would see them and I was like, oh, when I do one that's like, I call it like the train. Mm-hmm. Where they're the double seats are one in front of each other, which I kind of like because it's narrower.
Mm-hmm.
But you then have to get used to it, I guess, like you would driving a bigger car where you're like, how much forward space? Like, can I get into the space? Am I going to get the door?
It's heavy. You see people like hauling these things around and like turning around corners.
Yeah. And it's
a side by side. Maneuver.
Yeah.
And there's same with the side by side.
There's the side by side. And then the ones in Brooklyn that I saw, which I call like the double bus stroller, where there's like a kid literally kind of
underneath
the other kid. And I'm like, well, that's got to suck for your view.
Yeah.
That's got to suck.
They're just like looking at the butt of their sibling.
And once that kid figures out they can jam something in that the butt of their sibling, that is all going to happen. What I do like is the like attachment. It's like a little
Skateboard.
The skateboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can attach it, and then the older kid can kind of ride.
That's what we got.
Yeah, it's kind of that seems cool.
Okay, I'll tell you. We thought about doing a double stroller because Simon was 2 years and 3 months when Oscar was born, and I thought we might need a double.
Yeah.
But I wanted to avoid it because, again, we already had three strollers. I was like, I don't want to buy another stroller here. And so we looked into those skateboards, which you mostly see. I saw them in New York. When I was in New York, I saw them a lot. And so I looked into it. It was pretty cheap. They sell like a universal one that works with most strollers. You have to like kind of, you put it together and you adjust it based on what's like your, based on your stroller. And it's been cool, but I will say it says like it's supposed to be for two and up. And there were so many reviews online saying like, yeah, my two-year-old loves it.
Right.
My two-year-old loves it. My two-year-old, I mean, it took a lot of training to get him not to just climb off in the middle as we're going along at, like, a pretty decent clip.
It's like and being on the edge of the grocery cart.
Yeah.
It's like being on the,
They could just
jump
they just
off.
Get off. And he, like, it's not like he's wearing a helmet or anything. Like, I mean,
right.
you know, and it, so that was kind of nerve-wracking. And also he would, like, so he would kind of get bored, like, part of the way there and just kind of jump off. And it's also, it is a little bit in your way.
Yeah.
Like you're
pushing, that's what I was wondering.
It's slightly in your way. I mean, it's still fine. It's like it's a good thing for like walking. I mean, it's a good thing for like a short. It's not a good for like we're going for a walk.
Right.
It's good for like we're trying to get from the car to like the children's museum is like a little distance,
right.
you know? Like it's good for that. And it did help us avoid buying another fucking stroller.
Well, then there's the jogger stroller.
Right.
Which I think that's for like the parent who's like, I'm done. I'm gonna start exercising.
I'm gonna start jogging.
But here's a question. Yeah. Do I really need a jogger stroller, or can I just run with my giant stroller?
I think you can run with your giant stroller.
What's the perk of the jogger stroller?
The jogging stroller has the kind of tires that are almost like mountain bike tires.
Right.
So you can go on like, because we have like a dirt road right by our house. So we kind of need, you can't really push a regular stroller on there. So it's good for like, it's bouncy. And like when I walk around the reservoir, there's a lot of like bumps and rocks and it handles there pretty well.
I will say it's interesting.
It's more comfortable, I think.
Okay. It's interesting, all the like technical designs go into stroller. Because you mentioned the tires and we've got like, you know, a bugaboo from 8 bazillion years ago, because Katie Bell's old bugaboo, and it had the, like two kind of small tires and two big tires, so you could flip the handlebars so that if you were going over like rougher terrain, the big tires would be in the front.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm thinking about it now, and I'm like, that is intense.
Yeah.
That's intense.
A lot. Yeah.
Was there one thing in the stroller that you just had to have when you were first looking at strollers where you just like, man, I really want to make sure that this is part of the stroller? Or did you ever do any pre-stroller research?
No, I did none. I basically just asked my cousin, what do I need? And like, my cousin just told me what to get. And she told me, like, I got like a, I think it's the Bob like Revolution stroller. But the thing is, I knew I wanted to be able to jog with my stroller, or at least like go walking a lot. That was my
only
thing.
You had some pre-thought.
And I just was like, what's the one to get?
Yeah.
And she was like, get this one. And I was like, okay. So we put it on our registry, and Jesse's aunt bought
it. That's right. Yeah. By the way, strollers, great registry thing.
They are so fucking expensive.
Here's my question. Well, that is a question. Why? Because I was so blown out of the water by how expensive they were.
Yeah.
And I was like, isn't like, you know, I wrestled with car seats. I was like, that's expensive. Can we just do like the less expensive if it's still safe? You know, like why is it, A, put it on your fucking registry?
Yeah.
Anybody out there is like, I don't want to do a registry. Do a registry.
Just
there are
going to
be a number of big ticket items and people want to buy you shit. So give them some direction. Okay. Just give them some direction. Some of us can't do like fucking bring you meals.
Yeah.
But I can buy you a bib or like whatever. Anyway, so get put on the registry. Why are they so fucking expensive?
I don't know.
Why? I'm trying to figure out. I could get like the innovation, and there really are some cool things that they do. And it is something that you're probably going to use 3, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
you're
going to
use it a lot.
I on the topic of them being expensive, I'm sure some part of it is like, that's just how much it costs to make it or whatever.
Right.
But I think it's also, you know, there's strollers that cost like $2,000 and stuff.
Well, that
I mean,
is
there's
too much.
Just insane. There's insane things. And so I'm committed to not getting another stroller in my life.
Right.
I not only because I don't want to spend the money on it, but I just don't need more things taking up space. And but I will say, like, our current, the jogging stroller that we have, it's starting to, like, get fucked up.
Mm.
And it's, like, got some issues with it. Like, it's really hard to get it to collapse.
Oh,
and,
ours is pretty beat up, too.
And, like, a couple, like, the little strap that clips over it to keep it folded up is broken.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to kind of hold it shut when you're lifting it. And I had this idea the other day that I was saying to my friend, like, I feel like I don't know if I could take it to, like, a cycle shop or if they would
hate
me. But I feel like there should be, like, somebody, like, a specialty stroller doctor who you can take your stroller to.
I love
Because they're all so expensive, nobody wants to, like, replace.
Yeah.
You want to, like, keep your stroller.
Well, okay.
But you want it to get, like, tuned up. It needs a tune-up.
All right.
Essentially, it needs a tune-up.
This is a perfect segue into something I very specifically wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Which are strollers and New York City.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like New York City is like this own universe in terms of setting the tone for how the rest of the world sees strollers and moms a little bit, okay? Mm. No place else, I feel like, in the entire United States do people fucking hate strollers more than, like, New York. And
because it's crowded,
I definitely lump the Brooklyn and the, you know, all the boroughs into this.
Yeah.
I mean, their whole blogs committed to, like, fucking moms in their strollers.
Right.
Okay, so I have a couple of things to say about this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One, strollers, for if I could say one thing to people who don't have kids yet or are pregnant and like are kind of anti-stroller or whatever, this is it. This is your way to get your kid around.
Yeah.
I mean, you can strap them on you and that's fine. But in particular in New York City, I didn't have a car to go to the grocery store. My grocery store cart was my stroller.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I need something that can get home five bags of groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And I need something that, you know, I can, as well as carrying my own stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I got to go by the wine store, of course. I got to go by the hardware store, like whatever. And it's not like you're just going from your car to the Children's Museum. You're going like 20 blocks to the Children's Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that the streets of New York City, or the sidewalks of New York City and Brooklyn and all those places, are not built for strollers.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the fact that nothing there is built for strollers.
Right.
There's no way to get to the subway. Maybe one subway has an elevator that works, and that elevator smells like fucking shit.
Yeah.
It literally, there may be shit in it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The escalators never work. Like, you got to get them all the way down the stairs. You got to get it in this, you know.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
And it's a, everybody fucking hates you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to fucking be in there.
Yeah.
And you
got
to get all the way fucking back up. And you as a mom get used to, or dad, get used to literally picking your kid up and the stroller and walking downstairs.
Right.
Like, it's such a skill that you suddenly, like, develop, and it's just fucked up. So... you can't go into stores. You can't go into restaurants. Like, everything is so anti-you and the baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's like another reason to be, like, imprisoned in your house a little bit. Now, that said, if you were out, I always try to do, like, traffic, you know, like, stay to the right, stay to the left, you know, like, pay attention. Don't stop in the middle of the sidewalk and talk with your stroller.
Mm-hmm.
Pull over to the side. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
That's true whether you're with a stroller or
not.
Right.
That's just good etiquette.
Yeah.
Don't stop and get on your cell phone in the middle of the fucking sidewalk. Step to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to find, living in New York, that I thought people on their cell phone devices were way ruder than people with their strollers. Because you would. You'd stop. You'd be, like, texting. You'd be, like, roaming about, not listening. Like, anyway. So, like, there is, you're really limited, and like the stroller becomes basically your car.
It is.
It is your car. And it's something that I think is so unique to New York than anywhere else. Because now we have kid number two. It was really easy to lose the stroller with Katie Bell once we moved out here. You know, outside of a couple of walks, we were going in the car.
Mm.
We were going in the car to the store.
Mm-hmm.
She could ride in the cart at the store. Like, we just didn't need all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have Ellis, I find that I hardly ever use the stroller unless I just want to go walking.
Right.
You know, like, or maybe we're at a museum, but, you know, if there's something like that. But for the most part, I just carry them or put them in a carrier.
Yeah, we use the carrier.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. But people, it leads me to this larger question of the hate.
Yeah.
The hate. I feel like all the articles that come out about, like, the anti, you know, stroller, the anti, oh, they took their baby to a bar. Oh, they're using this. They have to have the best of this and the culture of this and, like, all this mom, like, sort of, like, hating.
Yeah.
Is it about the stroller, or do people just fucking hate moms?
I feel like people hate moms.
Like, sometimes I'm like, are you mad that I'm out with the stroller? Are you mad that I have children?
Yeah.
Which is the thing that's coming first?
Well, isn't it just, like, anything that gets in your way? Like, it's, like, anything that's, like, in my way, like, I have no patience for it.
I have to have a baby on my hotel floor. I have to have a baby on a plane.
Right.
Like,
Babies live in the world.
That's right. And that should just be a t-shirt right there. Babies live in the world. Everybody's, you yourself were a baby.
Yeah.
You might knock somebody up or get knocked up and therefore have a baby.
Yeah.
Circle of life, everybody.
Yeah.
I just, the venom.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there is something, like, we've culturally turned it, like, strollers in particular have become the symbol for, like, all things that people hate. Like, it's not like you hate strollers, you hate types of strollers. Oh, I hate the designer strollers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Sometimes one of the things I actually tested, because I was living in New York, so I highly recommend, go to a store and go walk around with some strollers.
Yeah.
It's you're going to have it for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Yeah.
But, like, I would find that my feet hit the back of the strollers, and I kept, like, sort of like you do on grocery carts or something, and I was like, that's really annoying. Or you couldn't get to the baggies on the bottom to store your groceries or hold your stuff. Or
a lot of them aren't tall enough.
Right. Or the handles don't come up high enough.
Like Jesse isn't comfortable pushing any of our strollers.
Right. That's right. Exactly. So, like, you got to go test run them out. But, like, but maybe there's something to be – you know what? I drive not a designer car.
Right. Yeah.
I test rode a nice car once. And I said, wow, this really is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything or hear anything and feel lovely and feel cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to be said about there's nothing wrong with a nice stroller if it's doing what you need it to do.
Right.
I also have my, like, super shitty stroller.
It's, yeah, and there's something about, I don't know if this ties in. I think you make such a good point about, like, the mom hating about it. But there's also... and people love to complain about the giant stroller or the fancy stroller.
Right.
Some fancy strollers are fancy because they're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, a friend of mine has the like $800 whatever. I don't know. I can't even remember what it's called. But and when she got it, I was like, wow, really? Like, how could that be worth it? But then we walk together, and I've seen it over the course of from brand new baby all the way until you know, now she has like an 18-month-old, and it's like magic. I mean, like it shields the baby's eyes from the sun. It like adjusts based on like, is he gonna be like flat on his back as a newborn?
Right.
Is he gonna be sitting up? Is he gonna nap? Is he gonna? I mean, it shifts around. It has like, I mean, it's, there's so many things about it that are awesome, but also it's, in a weird way, like an accessory that like, so like, I also have this other friend who did not put this stroller on her registry, but like her like aunt or mother-in-law or somebody bought her like $1,000 Bugaboo.
Oh my God.
Like just as like I want to do this for you as a really nice thing for you.
Our Bugaboo was not $1,000.
Okay. But Bugaboo does make some really,
they make some
really
super
nice
high-end
strollers.
Nice strollers. But I don't know. I haven't looked at a stroller in 5 years.
Right. But no, but what was so funny about this is like some moms will be like, you just bought me the dream stroller of my life. It's like buying somebody a car. But then my friend was just like, I don't even know what to do this. Like she was so uncomfortable pushing it and like hated it from day one.
But did she? Okay. So, but okay. Oh, God damn. We're going to grow. Okay. So listen. All right. All right. Part, because it's out, because it's something that people visually see with us, does it become a new thing of like, I shouldn't enjoy something so nice because I'm a mom. I should feel guilty for having this like really nice thing. Like people have no problem spending money on the like the high chair or the like the crib or like the bedding or like whatever. Like everybody's got something that they freak out about and they really want the nice, you know, version of for their kid. And do whatever you can to to get it. But, like, the stroller, there is, like, a weird, I don't deserve this, or I don't want people to make assumptions about me because I'm pushing this stroller.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even feel comfortable telling people what kind of stroller you have.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to wrap up on this.
Okay.
That is part of that whole, we got to fucking cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to cut it out feeling bad about having something nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deserves something nice, whether it's a stroller, whether it's a nice shirt, whether it's like new pair of shoes, kids,
but
no
kids.
But you
also deserve to be able to pick out the one you want.
Well, sure. Yeah, no, like, I agree.
There's also something about like
I'm jumping to a larger conclusion, but
you
you're right.
A thing that you
don't want.
Anyways, go on.
I just
have to point that out.
That's also another joy of having children.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of shit people are giving you. That's why you create a registry. And then sell that shit.
Yeah.
It made my baby break out in hives. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He just doesn't like nice
Every
things.
Every time I set him down in it, he
screams. So we just had to sell it and use all that money on food. Delicious cheeses and chocolates for myself. It made his screaming less annoying. But like, yes, correct. Correct. I was jumping more to the
I'm
larger conclusion.
No, but you're right. I think that's also an important point.
That is valid.
Yeah.
Okay, but back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, take it and enjoy it.
It's going to help your life.
Right. It's going to help your life. Two, if you suddenly get bent out of shape because you see somebody with a stroller or that they just spent a ton of money or you know how much it is or whatever and you get bent out of joint, sorry.
Yeah.
That falls into the category of that's you.
Yeah.
Don't make your friend feel like shit for it.
Nope.
And go work it out.
Yeah.
Go work it out. Yep. Work it out for yourself.
Walk around the block a few times.
That's right. That's right. Pushing that stroller and seeing how nice it is. It's fucking beautiful. Just, you know, like we need to stop taking some of these like symbols that we've turned in to the ultimate anti-mom symbols.
Yeah.
And just getting rid of them. Like, who, again, who gives a shit what kind of stroller you have?
Who cares?
No one should care.
No one should care.
You should stop caring if you care.
Yep.
So stop it. And if you live in New York City, help people get up and down the stairs with their giant fucking strollers.
Totally.
Okay?
But shout out to my stroller for the most important thing it's ever done for me, which is allow me to take a pee in a public restroom when I have both children with me without the older one crawling under the stall and leaving the bathroom without me.
Amen to that. I think that what you just said totally sums up the takeaway for people who are like, I don't get strollers.
Yeah.
We need them.
We need them.
We need them.
Yeah. And stop hating moms.
And stop and stop hating moms. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Harry's.com.
For Valentine's Day, listeners can get a Chrome Winston razor set for just $25 with free engraving, a $15 value.
That is a good deal to show someone you love them.
Yeah, it's really nice for Valentine's Day. Go to Harry's.com and use the code BADMOTHERVALENTINE, that's all one word, on your first purchase.
That's Harry's.com, Harry's.com, and enter coupon code BADMOTHERVALENTINE. Woo!
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time. Teresa, genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
I was having some back problems. My back was really hurting and bothering me.
Why?
No idea. my mom had the idea, well, are you carrying the baby on both sides or only on one side? And I pretty much only carry him on the left because I do things with my right hand because I'm right-handed. And so I just started carrying Oscar on my right hip and trying to do everything with my left hand as often as possible. And it was really hard at first because it felt really awkward. But after like a week of doing that, I got stronger in a different different way. And like it was so weird. Like the feelings I was having in my back like completely went away. Like it was like gone.
Wow.
Now I just switch back and forth. I try to do it like just
same
amount on each side and everything feels really good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
How about you?
I was doing a lot of work in the backyard, just trying to get some gardening things and yard things done. Mm-hmm. And I still have my raised bed from last year in the yard. And Katie Bell really wanted to do some painting on some other projects that I was doing. And they were all like spray painting projects. I'm just not going to let her do that. So we had some acrylic paint left over from a little craft project. So I just set her up in front of the garden bed and had her paint gardeny things on it.
Cute.
And so it's super fucking adorable.
So
like, good garden, mama and papa's garden.
Aww.
And like crappy flowers and all that. Super cute.
So cute.
Kept her busy for like 2 days.
Oh, I love it.
It was great.
I don't know if this is a genius or a fail moment because I was always trying to not expose my 17-month-year-old daughter to TV. And then finally I discovered Elmo, and that I could actually, I work all day as a lawyer, and I can fucking come home, you know, and do the dishes, and she just sits there, and she watches Elmo, and it's, like, fucking amazing, but maybe I'm also guarding my child's brain. So I don't know, you guys. I think it might be awesome. I certainly feel more sane. I love the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
We want to confirm for you that it is, in fact, a genius moment.
Yeah.
And let it go.
It's great.
It's fucking
do
great.
Do what works.
Do what
you
works.
You obviously love your child and you're taking care of her and doing yeah. a great job.
It's not going to rot her brain.
No, it's not rotting her brain.
24 hours of television, possibly not the healthiest for your baby.
Yeah.
But Elmo, couple of shows, yeah. you're fine.
Yeah.
You're doing a
good
great
job.
Good job
doing the dishes.
Yeah, I know. Let's use that Elmo time for something even more special, yeah. okay? All right, but you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Good job. Failures. Fail me.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Well, this is like, I don't even know if this is like a double or triple fail, but basically, Oscar doesn't like hot dogs. And this
what?
Is, and this is a really big problem for me because I
can only cook hot dogs.
I can only cook hot dogs. No, I can cook other things than hot dogs. I've talked about it on the show before. I try not to have hot dogs more than like once a week. And I get the like organic whatever.
Oh, whatever. It's a hot dog.
It's a fucking hot dog, okay? It's not great, okay?
How organic can a fucking hot dog be?
It can be organic.
All right. Still pig parts.
Okay.
Delicious, yummy pig parts.
Okay.
I'm not.
This is my fail.
I love
right?
hot dogs.
So, okay. So Simon is also in this like crazy picky phase. Like he's historically been a pretty good eater,
yeah.
but now he's down to like a couple things that he'll eat. Like he won't eat almost anything right now.
Great.
He's just in this phase. I have to believe it will end because this is not how he was before. But hot dogs is one of the only things that he will eat. And so, like, I've been serving them a little bit more often.
Sure.
Because sometimes it's like I need him to eat at night. Otherwise, he wakes up too hungry
right.
in the morning. And so I've been making them, like, over and over and over and just feeding them, like, giving them to Oscar, offering them to Oscar over and over and over again in the hope that I will teach him to like hot dogs.
Eat your hot dogs,
it's
Oscar.
The saddest thing that's ever happened.
That is pretty depressing.
Much. Okay, that's
is
all.
Horrible. That's so sad. House of hot dog sadness.
Yeah.
Well, Katie Bell, she fell on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Her nose was all scratched up. Friday, I noticed like a little bit more like red, scratchy looking things on the side of her face. And I thought, oh, I must have just missed that. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. things pop up a little later or whatever. And then I noticed more and more. And by like Friday afternoon and like Saturday morning, I'm like, Stefan, this is not a couple of scratches. There is like a rash going on her face.
Mm.
So I'm like racking my brain trying to figure out what we've done recently. And we, regardless, she, for the first time, started eating this like edible weed called sourgrass. There's another word for it, whatever. But they grow all over the place. So she was like eating that and sucking on that. And I was like, that's cool, whatever. She also picks flowers on the way home from school. And on Friday, she had picked it and like really stuck it on. She was like, this smells so good. And I turn around and her nose was orange like a Cheeto, you know, like all the pollen. And I was like, oh my God, you got to wipe that off. That's like, you can't rub pollen all over your face. Well, clearly, that's got to be the reaction. We, like, talked to her doctor, and he was like, well, you know, that looks directional. It doesn't look like the shape of a rash that would spread. It looks more like, oh, I touched my face here, I touched my face here, and I'm having a reaction to it.
Yeah.
So we've been doing cortisone cream and stuff, but I just, like, it's just sad.
It sucks, yeah.
And then
every time you look at her, you see
this has become
rash,
like a double fail because on the break, I just got a call from the school because today's the first day back at school and I was unable to get to her teacher to say, it's nothing horrible, it's just this reaction. And the nurse just called, she's scratching your face and like, it's spreading. I'm like, it's not spreading.
Yeah.
It's not spreading.
It's just getting red because she's scratching
it. It's just getting red because she's scratching it and was just informed that if she scratches it too much, she's going to get this bacterial infection, whatever.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm sorry.
So, fail. So now I'm just angry that my child is sick. Failures.
So here is my fail / rant. My fail is that when I'm explaining to my daughter where we're going, we are always going somewhere far away. This is great because whenever I say we're going somewhere far away in the car, she immediately calms down and takes a nap, and I get 20 to 30 minutes or maybe 4 hours of absolute silence and solitude. It's wonderful. Yay! okay, but fail because we are moving, and we are moving far away. And all of her friends recently moved far away, and she now thinks we're moving far away to the same town of far away where they all live, including my parents, who actually live in the opposite direction we're moving. That is epic fail.
Wow. Aww. Yeah, that's one of those oops. That turned into a horrible fail.
Side effect.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
You suck.
You totally
you
suck.
You did a horrible thing encouraging your child.
I hope you enjoyed the rest that you got.
Oh, hang in there, bad mom.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a mom.
Great.
It is great. Today, we are calling Michelle T., who is the author of a novel, four memoirs, a collection of poetry, and the young adult fantasy book, A Mermaid in Chelsea Creek, which is coming out. She's also the founder of Radar Productions, a literary nonprofit that runs the International Sister Spit Performance Tours. But we are going to actually speak with her today about her online magazine, Mother Magazine, and her new memoir, How to Grow Up. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, you guys.
There is literally, in preparing for this call, it took me forever to figure out how to get sort of a bio together on you that wouldn't take up the full 15 minutes of the call, because it really is amazing. And I'll just start the interview off by telling people right away, we're going to link everybody up to everything that is Michelle. And I highly encourage you to go on the journey that is Michelle T. And I will remind people at the end, but let's just get into it so that people can get to know you right now and start with the question we ask everybody, which is, who lives in your house?
I live in my house, and my wife partner, Dashiell, lives in my house, and we have a new baby named Atticus who's lived with us for the past 3 months. And a dog named Charlie.
I like that you're like, has lived with us for 3 months, because he may be like, fuck you guys, and he's out the door.
Three months so far.
So far, we're doing good.
Yeah, he hasn't left.
3 months in.
Right. I'll just ask, 3 months, how's it going?
It's good. I mean, you know, I'm really pretty delighted by it. I'm finding that I'm functioning on no sleep way better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Thank God. And I guess, yeah, it's kind of like one thing that nobody talks about with the sleep deprivation is that it can actually be really fun sometimes. It's like, I'm a sober drug addict, so all I have left is low blood sugar and sleep deprivation if I want to get high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I've gotten the sillies a lot in the
past 3 months, and so that's been pretty enjoyable. But no, it's been great. I mean, it's really hard. I overestimate my capabilities, and so I thought that I would be able to work from home with the baby here, and that has not been working out very well. It's really hard to get work done when I'm kind of standing over his crib spinning a mobile so he won't scream.
Yeah,
which is what I'm doing right now. So. And never mind writing. I mean, writing hasn't. I can't. That's going to have to happen. There's going to be a whole project around how to get back to writing again. But,
yeah, well, write that book and let us know how that works out. Because I could give you some serious advice on doing anything remotely creative.
Yeah.
Post-babies.
I think it's called pay somebody to come and stay with your baby.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is.
Basically, just
that is.
Need a babysitter.
Yeah. You need a really good babysitter. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, for our listeners who may not be familiar with you and your past, as you mentioned, you are now a sober, former drug addict. I like to describe it sort of as you weren't just like rock and roll. You were like punk rock. You were like hardcore, like counterculture, like living the dream that everyone doesn't ever want their children to live. Enjoy motherhood and all that comes with that. You've got memoirs out about that life. Let's just, maybe this will help kind of give us some insight into past Michelle and current Michelle. But like if 22-year-old Michelle T could talk to 43-year-old Michelle T, what would she think? First off, would she even know who you were, or would she know who you were? What would she say? I mean, like, what do you think that experience would be like, and why?
I mean, you know, I think that when I was about 22, if that's the age you want to start with, I kind of was like in the midst of this lesbian feminist nervous breakdown, where like I had like sustained some traumatic experiences in my life, and then I had sort of gotten this intense consciousness about injustice and the ways in which every injustice is sort of connected to every other injustice. And then I sort of OD'd on a lot of second wave feminism. And so I was having like a negative mystical experience of the world. And I just was like, everywhere I looked, I just saw injustice to not something to not participate in. And it made it so that my world became very limited. And I was really, really, really judgmental of basically everybody who was, you know, feeding the machine. And so I would have hated me. Oh my God. I just would have hated me for so many different reasons. You know, I would have just like, oh my God, that I live in a house that I own with my partner. We own property. I was like such a communist. Like I was like totally against the owning of property. I still might be actually, frankly, but, I was also in a lot of pain. It's a really hard stance to maintain being basically against the whole world. So, I think what's more helpful or interesting is what I would have to say to her to kind of try to, I don't know, soften her stance against the world a little bit. Give her a little more breathing room.
Well, you just came out with this new memoir, How to Grow Up. And I wonder, when did the idea for this memoir come about? I know that you spent 2 years trying to get pregnant. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's...
Really?
Okay. So 3 years. You know, actually, I'm going to sidetrack. I want to actually talk a little bit about that. You took 3 years to get pregnant. You guys were doing in vitro, correct?
Uh-huh.
And
eventually we ended up doing.
Yeah. You talk a little bit about this. I've seen you talk a little bit about the experience, and I do, you know, we're big believers in, you know, hey, I didn't think about that. Or I never was thinking that people might be going through X or Y or having this experience. But, you know, you're going through this whole fertility process, which is really designed for heterosexual couples.
That was shocking to me, actually.
Yeah, I would never have thought about, because it's just really, to me, it seems like it would be about the doctor and the mother, the person trying to get pregnant, and it's so science-driven. How could it have a bias of some kind? But can you talk a little bit about that experience?
It was kind of like the structure and the bureaucracy sort of in it was very heterosexist. The people that I met were great. You know, like our doctor was cool. Like the people in the clinic were great. Like nobody batted an eye that, you know, we were two, you know, female-ish people having a baby together.
Right.
But just like the forms that you have to fill out and the way that the computer system would sort of hold our information was really annoying because I was carrying my wife's egg.
Yeah.
So they had me down as like a surrogate. Like that's how they had me in their system as like a, and so it was really creepy, you know? So there was like just things like that and just like, you know, paperwork with no place to write that the couple being discussed are lesbians or whatever we are. It was really shocking because I always thought that science was there for gay people to procreate, you know?
Why not?
I didn't realize that there was like a crisis of fertility happening with straight people, you know?
Interesting.
And I didn't really know that. I just knew that like this was a way that a lot of, you know, like lesbian people got pregnant. So when I went like to the big orientation, for instance, I thought it was going to be like a women's music festival or something. But instead, it was not. It was like there were two other lesbian couples there, and then it was a sea of straight people, you know? It was very interesting.
It's a big surprise how hard it is sometimes to just get pregnant. If we were all 17, life would be great. And having, you know, and like being stupid and drunk.
Oh my God.
We'd all be pregnant. But like, it is surprising how hard it is. But like, two things I hear in that I think are just fascinating. Again, we like to learn and grow sometimes here on One Bad Mother. But one, I love the like, you don't think about the paperwork and just wait till your kid gets to school. I'm as straight as they come, and I have a problem with half the paperwork I have to fill out. Like, I'm just like,
it's so presumptive.
And it isn't modernized at all for even stupid modern things that have happened in terms of family dynamics and who works and who doesn't. And like, and it's just never changed. And you have to fill it out 20 times for one kid for one day. But and then I also love the whole like, hey, I'm a lesbian. I never thought straight people had problems having a baby. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
We're all growing and learning, and I love it.
We are.
Speaking of growing and learning, I want to go back to the memoir that I started asking about, the How to Grow Up. So a 3-year process in trying to get pregnant is stressful no matter what. It's a really long and intense process. And did the idea for the memoir sort of come throughout that experience, or were you ready to grow up before you started even conceiving the idea of having a baby? Or did like the whole shift into, I want to be a mom, I want to, you know, go through this process, sort of, how did the book come about? What led to it?
Well, the book came about, honestly, because I was like talking to my agent and we were just like, can we figure out how I can write a book that I can actually sell for more than $1,000 here? Like, so it really was a blatantly commercial sort of endeavor or attempt. You know, I've written a lot of books, but they're all small press and they're all, you know, just kind of smaller endeavors. And so we were kind of trying to brainstorm, what can I do that can kind of kick it to the next level here? So we came up with this idea of like, you know, I used to be, you know, a wild dirt bag, you know, living in squalor and you know, I don't know, fetishizing petty crime. And now I'm like a reasonable facsimile of a healthy adult woman. How did that happen? Let's tell that story. So I ended up just kind of like looking at different parts of my life, different areas of my life and how they have been transformed in the past, you know, I don't know, 10 or so years. And the line is that I got sober, because once you do that, it just changes every part of your life. So that's really it. But, and then, you know, trying to get pregnant was totally an outcome of realizing that I was actually healthy and responsible enough to consider, do I want to try to do this, you know? And once I started considering it, I realized how old I was. And I was like, shit, if I don't try to do it like tomorrow, it's never going to happen.
Because
I was like 40 years old, you know?
Oh, so, I know. I have my 40-year-old baby. Don't worry.
You did? Oh, so great. Yeah. And so I kind of just decided, and I wasn't even 100% sure what I wanted, but I realized that I was never going to be 100% sure.
Right.
You know? But I felt like if I didn't try and see if it was possible, I would be a little haunted or regretful that I didn't pursue the experience.
Yeah.
So, and I was single at the time also, and I was like, I can't wait around for somebody to have a baby with. People are schmucks, and if I haven't found somebody yet and I'm 40, what are the odds? So I just kind of found a really sweet drag queen, young drag queen, who was willing to give me his sperm. And then I kind of hooked up with my best friend and was like, would you come over to my house and help inseminate me? And she's a real true blue friend, said sure. And so we did it like that for a while. And it was during that process that I actually met my wife.
Wow. So,
yeah. Yeah. It was very magical how it all came together, really.
I think we said this like last week. It was like, I don't know how a baby sometimes winds up in your house. All that matters is that one day a baby winds up in your house. Yeah. Like whatever the road was. If you want one, whatever the road was that got you there to have that baby, that's all that fucking matters. It doesn't matter if it comes out of your ear. It's all technically, in my opinion, a natural birth. Anyway.
Like, oh God. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I want to shift to Mother Magazine, which is your online magazine of all things motherhood. And it is kind of interesting. There's, again, like you said, you were, I will use your words, a dirt bag. And like this very, I would say, stereotypically, an anti-motherhood life. is what it sounds like. If I was going to be biased against...
well, there definitely was no room for motherhood in it,
right.
That's for sure.
Like, where... I feel like we, as a society, we've just actually spent a whole lot of the first half of the show talking about strollers and how that has just become a symbol for hating moms. You know, just like, I hate your stroller. I'm like, do you hate the stroller or do you just fucking hate moms? There really is just like a universal dislike against motherhood and moms. And I feel there's also, I have a lot of friends who I would lump into the counterculture sort of, you know, lifestyle, especially as performers, who don't feel that they could make a shift to motherhood. They don't feel that, you know, like just like there's this bias against mom, there's sort of a inherent bias that we hold sometimes if we are not. I've had friends like show up from my 20s now that I have kids that I haven't seen in like years, and they're like, I can't believe you're a mom. And I'm like, what was I doing? You can't correlate motherhood with when I wanted these children so much. Tell me a little bit about what got you to Mother Magazine, and is that filling that need for you? Did you feel that that was like as a representative of sort of this other lifestyle, like not lifestyle, this other...
Culture,
maybe this like one that didn't look like it led easily to motherhood, and I do not mean the lesbian culture. I mean the like sort of punk rock and roll, dirtbag lifestyle. Is that where it came from? How do you mash it up for yourself?
Well, you know, when I started Mother, I had been already kind of on the path to trying to get pregnant for a couple years. And I went on the internet a lot looking for information, and I found myself on all of those like TTC boards, you know, those trying to conceive boards where everyone is speaking in acronyms and like baby emojis and stuff like that.
I still don't know what DH stands for.
DH is darling husband.
See,
Why is everyone darling everything? Darling daughter, darling. It's like, come on. Yeah. It's so creepy. So anyway, I wasn't, you know, and I was sometimes getting just like factual information that I needed, and that was good, but I never saw any kind of stories that I could relate to. And I'm a writer, I'm a memoirist. I love stories. You know, I feel like I really grow and learn in the world from other people's stories. And I am lucky enough that at this point, I do know a lot of women who maybe had really untraditional younger years, their 20s or 30s, moms now. And I just found myself really like wanting to engage with them and get their story. And Mother Magazine was a way that I could kind of solicit that from people in a way that made sense to me and then was helpful on a larger level. Because I was like, oh, you know, if I'm wanting this, then I'm sure other people are wanting it, you know? And I just didn't really see anything exactly like Mother out there. I mean, there's
no,
Kit
there
Mama,
wasn't.
Which is totally awesome. Yeah. And then there's kind of like more kind of glossy, kind of lifestyle-y mom blogs, you know, by like, I don't know, Corrine Reutfeld's daughter and stuff like that. Those like really fancy ones. But there wasn't anything that was just kind of like keeping it super real and keeping it kind of more anchored to personal narrative, which I really love. So I put out a call, and it was like for the first year, I mean, I barely put out a call. I solicited from like a handful of people. And then for the first year, I was just getting unsolicited submissions, and it ran on that, you know, like we were posting like without even having to ask for stuff. It was amazing. So there's a lot of people out there that want a venue to tell their stories, whether it's their birth stories or the story of like, you know, their autistic child or their fucked up ex or whatever it is, you know?
Well, it's just a good reminder that like there is a great, you know, sort of equalizer, especially amongst women, where we're being split up all the time. And that is motherhood. And it's a shame that we sometimes let motherhood, like the image of motherhood, become another sort of way to divide ourselves when it really is the thing that holds us together, you know, double stroller or not, as it were. You know what I mean? You know, and so Mother Magazine really, I have found, is a great resource for finding all of those sorts of articles all in one place. You're not having to necessarily search through a bunch of stuff that, like, I don't want to be told things that I'm doing wrong. I don't want to be told, like, I just want to hear somebody's personal story, and that's just great, and it's totally a nice judge-free zone, and
totally.
Your story might not relate to me, but it's still worth sharing. But, you know, it doesn't mean it's not worth sharing. So, So
yeah, I've definitely had submissions that were, you know, people submitting things of like, you know, here are 10 things you can do to calm your child. And I was like, no, you know, we're not like prescribing systems to moms or telling them what to do or whatever. It's like, if you want to write about 10 things that you did to calm your child, that's totally different, you know, but no experts, you know, I didn't want that kind of expert. Self-appointed, you know, mom expert voices on the site.
We used to joke that, like, if we ever had an expert sort of panel on the show, it would be entitled "Everyone's a Fucking Expert."
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
that's what it ends up being, is that everyone is an expert, right? And I am getting like tons of submissions from people who are there's an expert of their lives, and it's so interesting, and there's so much to be learned from what they've gone through, you know, and figured out.
Michelle, we want to thank you for coming on the show, and we are going to link everybody up to Mother Magazine, plus the new memoir, How to Grow Up, and as well as just the whole wealth, as I said at the beginning, the wealth of, you know, stories and projects that you have worked on and created over the years. And just congratulations on Atticus.
Thank you.
And I hope, you know, you guys have fun. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. He's still alive, so we're high-fiving each other over that, for sure.
That's right. And you sound like you are keeping it together, which to me is just like the ultimate good job, especially as a three-month-old in your house. So.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I'm on Zoloft, so that helps.
That helps a lot. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Brian Fernandez, a.k.a. Sonny D., producer of Jordan, Jesse, Go.
I'm Lindsay Pavlis, producer of Wham Bam Pow.
We're the stars of Maximum Fun's first web video series, Brian and Lindsay Will Totally Eat That.
Someone throws us a snack, we eat it, and then we rate it on a scale from yummy to crummy.
We've recorded a pilot, and we're raising funding for the series on Kickstarter until February 20th.
And if we receive enough backers, we will receive a huge challenge grant from our friends at Hover.com.
Go to MaximumFun.org/totesy for more info or find us on Kickstarter.
Question for you.
Shoot it at me.
You gonna eat that?
Totally.
That was awesome.
Yeah, she's really cool.
She is in fact, she's like Iggy Pop cool. And is, you know, I will be fascinated to watch the journey of motherhood that she goes through, because she is so very cool and like, she's just going to make me realize that I control my own coolness as a mother.
Yeah.
I did just love that she was like, hey, I wanted a baby. I was 40. I didn't have a partner yet.
Yeah.
No one was coming. I'm just going to fucking take my life. It's my fucking life.
I know.
I am therefore going to do what I need
it's
to do.
So awesome.
It really is. Because I think people can like use the crutch of their past if they weren't like thrilled with maybe how their past was, or their past was too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use that as a crutch to not allow yourself to sort of move forward in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like one of the things we do all the time.
Totally.
Where it's just like, I shouldn't, you know, people will laugh at me if I just tell people I'm interested in cooking. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is. I know it's just like a bullshit example, but like, heaven forbid, I suddenly want to go and be a mom.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even have to be motherhood. We all know it could be anything. I want to change jobs. I want to like pursue this other passion. And we get really hung up in people only know me as this one thing and no one will let me.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? No one gives a shit.
Yeah. And no one will let you. You just have to let yourself.
Yeah. No one will let you. No one's like, ding dong. Just want to let
it's
you know.
Time.
You should do this.
Yeah. It's time. We're ready for you to do whatever that thing is.
Bring it on. So, again, How to Grow Up. Mother Magazine is also great. And you can look for, very soon, an interview with Teresa and I on Mother Magazine.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Which is exciting. That'll be coming out soon.
Yeah.
She's just awesome.
Yeah.
She's nailing it.
Totally.
Speaking of awesome and nailing it, let's listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Great.
Great.
I'm calling with a rant. New York City sucks. as a place to raise a child. I don't know who the people who have joy that do it, but I've got an 11-month-old. She gets into everything. Everything. You get into everything. And they say, enjoy this time, but she doesn't fucking understand anything I say. So you can't, you can't baby-proof an apartment like this. Yeah. Let me know my stuff. I don't have a, you know, attic or a basement or even an extra closet that isn't full of shit. And it's just even more shit. And my husband, bless his heart, stays home with the baby because we can't afford daycare. Who could afford daycare in this city? Unless you're George Clooney. I don't think he lives here, but, like, they even called the daycare down the street. Anyway, she can't go there because there's a wait list for next September. Wasn't it just September? I just wanted her to meet another child because none of my friends have kids here because none of them can fucking afford to have kids here. But I got knocked up. Good job, me. You suck, New York City. But you guys, one bad mother, you're doing a great job.
She actually comes back. She has a follow-up.
Okay.
She has a follow-up.
I'm just calling with an amendment to my rant about raising a child in New York City. I will give New York City one thing. They have great playgrounds. But good luck getting there. The day you decide to go, some guy shit on the F train. So you're out of luck. And you're stuck. Okay? Thanks again. Bye.
Oh, that, my God.
I think that might have been me calling from like 4 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right? So funny.
You, how
they do
apropos.
Have good playgrounds, and they have fences around them.
Oh my God, their playgrounds are really fucking the best. Yeah. I do miss the playgrounds a lot. I also miss if I just want a can of corn, I can just walk out my door and go get it. I don't put everybody in a car. Go.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on to that, dear New York mother, who's there calling. But other than that, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Totally.
Yeah. And by the way, with the baby proofing, don't. Don't bother. I couldn't do it. Just relax.
It'll be over soon.
It really... All of this will be over.
Will be over. No.
Sleep the long
and
sleep.
And it's the classic bullshit line of enjoy this time while it lasts. Enjoy whatever part of it you're actually enjoying, sure.
But the rest
but
of it...
if it's bothering you, that part will end because your child will be on to the next thing and you won't have to deal with that problem anymore.
It'll be replaced with a new problem.
It'll be
so
a new problem.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So just, you're doing great.
You're doing great. You are doing well. Hang in there. And when all gets bad in New York City, take your giant fucking stroller, go to Barnes & Noble, and let your kid trash the place. That's what you need. Okay. Recap for today.
Okay.
Strollers. Mm-hmm. I think our big takeaway on strollers is they're just fucking strollers.
Mm-hmm.
Get the type of stroller you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And enjoy it.
Yeah.
It, that's it.
Use it as a tool.
Use it as a tool. A simple, streamlined tool or a all bells and whistle tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's your stroller. No one cares. And if they do, they need to figure out something else to care about.
Don't worry about those people.
Yeah. It's just whatever. And if you don't have a stroller, give people with stroller a break.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you somebody is around you somewhere else doing something more infuriating than this poor mother with her stroller, or dad with his stroller, or whoever with their strollers. Just shift the attention.
Sorry, we didn't talk about in that movie, Away We Go, with What's-Her-Face, who plays that crazy mom character, and she hates all strollers because she would never push her child away from her.
Oh, yeah. So again.
Sorry, I just had
to. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's like
well,
the best
also,
thing.
While we were on break, Lindsay, our sound engineer, was like, I fucking love strollers. She doesn't have a kid. She's just like, it seems like mini car shopping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? It actually, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Can't put a car on a registry.
We encouraged her to go ahead and get a stroller for her dog.
Oh, we are
just
not
in case
going
anyone's wondering.
Talk about things that should be walking. Anyway, I will mock anyone coming at me with a dog and a stroller whose dog is not injured, doesn't have a
or
leg.
Or elderly.
We all start in a stroller. Y'all going to wind up in a stroller, everybody. At least strollers. Why aren't there like wheelchairs that are like that exciting and whatever.
Okay.
Sidetrack. So strollers. They're just fucking strollers. Everybody let it go. Stop hating moms. That's the big takeaway. Stop hating moms, everybody. Just embrace that. Teresa?
Yes?
You're doing a really good job.
Thank you. So are you, Biz.
Thank you. And everybody, you're all killing it.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Good job. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlos, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, Daddy, baby, bus and bike, got low-down mama's room. Oh, and Daddy,
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist-owned.
Listener-supported.